God this morning, and it's good to study God's Word. And there's times as we study God's Word, it may not be what we want to hear. And that's kind of some of the stuff we're going through right now. And somebody said to me, out of his last week or the week before, they said, you know, I just don't like what you're teaching right now. Well, I really don't either. I didn't write these words, folks. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for the salvation you have freely given us. Thank you for Jesus Christ dying on the cross to pay the price, Lord, to pay our penalty that we could not pay. He did it for us. And Father, we have freely, we can come to your throne. We can seek forgiveness. We can receive salvation. And Father, thank you. We have a blessed future, Lord, to spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, what a hope. What a privilege we have. Just pray, Lord, that you'll open our minds this morning, our hearts, for what's in your word. Help us, Lord, to help me to be able to teach it in a way that people can understand it. And again, Lord, I pray that I don't say anything that is false or heresy or contrary to your word. And Lord, my flesh can get in the way real easy. And Father, I just need your help to try to do it right. And I just pray for the group here that we'll all have understanding. And Lord, again, we need to be obedient. And help us, Lord, to take these principles and try to apply them to our lives. And Lord, some of us need to change some attitudes and about the way we deal with the government, those in authority over us. And Lord, you laid it out clear what you expect in your word. And Father, I just pray that you'll help us to strive to abide by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, there's a lot more topics. It's a lot more pleasant, but when we see all the wrongs that's going on out in the world today and things we're living under that we don't agree with, it's against our, and it's ungodly. A lot of ungodliness out there today. And that's, but God's placed us in this world at this time for his purpose. And so here we are. But anyway, we're in chapter 13, we got halfway through verse 1. Last week, let's just go ahead and read just as verses 1 and 2, because that's as far as we're going to probably get today anyway. And if we need to move on, we'll move on. But let's just go ahead and read chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. And who'd read those for us? John?
Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation.
Okay, thank you, John. Folks, those are powerful words. Okay, powerful words. But they're God's words. They're not mine. And we went through the first part of 13, I'm not going to back up. We're going to keep on trucking here. But just to start off in verse 13, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Folks, everybody in authority over us has been put there by God. And that seems we see these ungodly people making laws and cramming stuff down our throats we don't agree with, and we think folks, America's in a mess today. We're in a mess. We're in a spiritual mess, and our biggest mess is not global warming, folks. We have got a sin problem in this nation, and we're seeing God's wrath being poured out on this nation, and it looks like it's going to be a long time before things get better. You know. Well, we don't know. I should not have said that. We don't know it. I hope he comes back before this Sunday school class is over. I mean, let's just, I've never been so ready to go home, my real home. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead and pick it up at the last part. It says, for the powers that be are ordained of God. That's where we finished last Sunday. For there is no other power but of God. Folks, all power belongs to God. All creation belongs to God. The entire universe belongs to God, including man. He who created the world controls the world. God is still in control. It looks like things are totally out of control, and it looks like Christians are losing the battle. God's still on his throne. He's still in control. And there's none of this is catching him by surprise. He knows all about it.
So he orchestrates everything.
Yep. Could you guys hear that? Okay. God orchestrates all things. We each are dependent on God for our next heartbeat, and he produces that in our body. Okay? Our next breath of air is a gift from God. That's how finely tuned he's running this show. So, he manages a world for his own purposes. God has got a will for everything that he does, and God does not make any mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes. And anyone who possesses any authority on earth has this by the sovereignty of God, is what this verse is saying. We ask, are you talking about communist China? Yes. Are you talking about Russia? Yes. Are you talking about Hitler? Yes. There's no power that is not reflective of a God-ordained plan. Sometimes this is hard to swallow, folks. No tyrant ever sees power without God allowing it. Folks, anything happens, it has got to be processed through the fingers of God. We ask, what about cruel governments like Adolf Hitler? How can you say that about abusive kinds of government, Jim? Okay. How can you say that those are ordained of God? How can you say that? I'll answer by saying this. I didn't say it, folks. Just read it. It's there. It's God's word. This is not my problem, but there is no power that isn't there unless it was ordained by God. The powers that be are ordained of God. God has ordained government to protect and preserve men, to protect their life and their property. That's government's job. To do that, there must be a role of government to repress evil. Man, boy... when the Bible says man is evil, there's no righteous. Anyway, I can't think of it. Anyway, we just see man's inhumanity to man. I can't believe, you know, war is a terrible, terrible thing. You know, anyway, getting off my notes here. And to hold up and honor those who are virtuous and good. That's government's job, okay? The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be are not the will of the majority. That's strange to think about. The majority only reflects the sovereign purpose of God. The powers that be are God's design, and that means any governmental power in any form. Whatever the government is, God put it there for whatever purpose he wants. If it's a good government, he put it there for good. If it's an evil one, he put it there to accomplish something. Even governments that have a lack of freedom for the people reflect the purpose of God. China stands against everything we know in American democracy. And the church has flourished there because the growth of the kingdom is not related to any kind of a political cult. None. Even Nero, who burned Christians, was ordained by God. Hard to stomach. And the death of those Christians became the development of the church. God knew what he was doing. When Christians are put under persecution, it seemed like they always flourish. And the worse the persecution, the greater the flourishing. And the people who are under the illusion that you have to preserve American democracy to preserve the kingdom of God is wrong. Ordained of God, okay, now here's a point. When it says ordained of God, doesn't mean that they will not do sinful acts. In fact, God uses wicked countries. He's used wicked countries to punish his own people. Look at the Babylonians. God put them under, you know, Babylonian rule. And several other different nations have taken over the, you know, God's people. And again, folks, bear in mind, and God hates sin. Okay, and sin is a result of all the bad stuff that happens. Sin. God hates sin. He will punish sin. And God puts bad leadership over us to punish us. And again, I've said before, the wrath of God is every bit much a attribute of God as his love. People always want to talk about God as love, and he is. But God is also wrathful. I mean, look at the flood. Eventually, God, he is going to chastise. He hates sin. He's going to punish it. And it might mean bringing a nation under wicked government rule. He's got a purpose in it. He will accomplish his purpose. And anyway... But, I mean, yeah, just because they're ordained of God doesn't mean they will still do sinful acts. God has given a free will to man, and he can choose right or wrong. And for the most part, man seems to like to choose wrong. It simply means that God has ordained it to hold in check the rather limitless evil of Satan, his demons, and men as well. God's put government there to suppress what could happen. What would happen if we didn't have a government at all? And this thing about defunding the police, oh my. I mean, anyway, it left me speechless. Don't go into that, Jim. Leave it alone. Remember, in the past, God has used ungodly governments to chastise his chosen people. The Babylonians and Hitler, for example. Two of them. God used them both. God put them there. It went through the fingers of God that 6 million Jews were exterminated. Now, I can't explain, you know, well, I can't explain it. It's God's will. He's in control. And I can't judge God and what he does or try to second guess him or whatever. Whatever God does is always right. He's got a purpose. We don't have to know what it is. He's in control. But he was still in control, folks. This is the word of God. Just before we're ready to start on verse 2, anybody have any comments before we move on? Yes, ma'am.
I just would like to say on the government part, where you're talking about is, you know, we have to go back to the Noahic covenant. God gave it in Genesis after the flood. So he gave us the government so that we can, he put us on a level. Okay, we need to, that was so sinful back then. So we put government there to be able to help control us as people because of our sinful nature.
Mm-hmm.
for what we have. So he's not putting, you know, like we think of today, we can still resist what is going on some of our government. Those are people put some legislation into form. That doesn't mean they're correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, God put sinful man in control, and sinful man can do sinful things, sinful laws, sinful rules. And John?
Yeah, I think that's the key. Man is sinful. Just like God originally didn't make man to go bad, man went bad.
Mm-hmm.
When God sets up a government, he sets it up for good. Now, there may be exceptions to that, I'll have to say, because he sets up one to judge another. Governments are different. He didn't set up man to judge another man, but he does governments. But generally speaking, it's the same as individually. God sets up a government for the good, but that doesn't mean the government will do good all the time, because man is sinful. Man is, you know, from the president on down, and has people in it that are bad. And so a government can go bad. But God, in his infinite knowledge and manipulations, I will say, he knows how to do, make governments do what he wants, even if they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
He can judge another government, or he can use it like you say, when the persecution comes, it might increase the number of people that get saved because they see that man is bad and they turn to God. I don't know, but God does.
Yeah.
God knows what the outcome is going to be,
mm-hmm.
and he can change it for his purpose. The ultimate example that I always give is Judas. God didn't make Judas... turn against Christ. Judas in his sinful nature did.
Mm-hmm.
But God used that to save many people. Christ mm-hmm. died because of Judas. And Judas won't get that kind of credit.
yeah.
But God used that to save millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And he can do that same thing with a government. A government can mm-hmm. go bad, and God can still use it in his plan because he's able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see through that. We don't understand what all's going on behind the scenes, and we never will with God. God is infinite, and he's doing things behind the scenes that we don't know.
Mm-hmm. And whatever he's doing is right.
Of course.
Yes, sir.
One thing in the beginning, God gave us free will.
Mm-hmm.
He sent it out of the will because Adam could make a choice. He had a free will to do so. But God created these waters and knocked them in the head before he decided to move. And the whole Bible was formed by the Holy Spirit. The whole Bible is full of God's rules.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know, the ones who accepted Christ in the heart, that if we obey God and follow his rule, the earth is what the government tells us. If they're not following the rule of God, like the Daniel of the three guys, then Daniel said no. No. But they had to face the penalty. God will give you the way to be pure. So when the government turns bad against the people, the Christian cannot say whatever they say you gotta follow. No. If it's not God's rules, you can stand up and say no. And we should.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on to verse 2. It says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God." That's a mouthful, you know. We get angry with our government. We want to resist and say no. But we resist, you know, I mean, this is God's word here. "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God." And again, that's when it comes down to things that God tells us we should do or we should not do, and the government's telling us otherwise, then we need to stand up and resist. But otherwise, if it's nothing like that, if just government rules, we're to abide by them. And we're, okay, I'm getting off my notes here, but "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God." This is the second reason why we submit to the government. "Since all government is ordained of God, whosoever resisteth the power is resisting God." It couldn't be clearer. I mean, how can God make that any plainer, folks? We ask, what about the cruel abuses of government? It doesn't matter whether the Roman emperor was kind or good, whether he was a persecutor of Christians or a lover of them. It doesn't matter whether he was elected by the people, appointed by the Senate, or whether he took over in a military coup. None of that is consequential. It is simply for the purpose that of God in that situation. In that situation, God is working. And he's allowing things to happen, but all behind it, God's working out his plan. It's part of the plan. And resistance and rebellion against that government is resistance and rebellion against God. That's what it says, folks. Unless it's forcing you to do that which is contrary to Scripture. However, the cruel abuses, injustices, and wrongs of governments are no reflections of God's holy nature or his will. Governments that he's put in place do things, and they make laws, and they do things that's against the will of God. But God knows that. He knows that. Sometimes he wants to punish or prosper a nation. But we honor the government, whether it's the president, the governor, the Senate, the House, the police, whatever it is. Remember David's horror when he had the occasion to kill Saul? Remember that? He was in a cave with Saul, cut off his skirt, off his garb, whatever that would be called, okay? David wouldn't do it. David understood this truth of honoring the one in authority. David says, "How can I do this evil to God's anointed?" David understood it. The verse goes on to say, "And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." I think other versions say, I had the word in my mind and then I lost it. What's the word I'm trying? Huh?
Judgment.
Judgment, okay. And the third reason we submit to the government is this. If you resist the government, you are going to be punished by God. Here it is used primarily in reference to the punishment that comes from God through the civil authorities. That's what God's put them in place for. It's supposed to be there for our good. God has ordained government to punish evildoers. And it's talking here not only about the judgment of God, but about the judgment of man. In other words, God is using man to judge man. And he's given me authority and the power to do that. Sinful man. Man that makes wrong decisions. Man that makes wrong choices. Turn to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, we're going to be reading verses 23 through 25. And who'd read those for us? Royce, I see that hand. Exodus 21, 23 through 25.
But if any harm follows, then you shall give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe.
Okay. Back here, God's establishing his laws of government. And God instituted a law that had a right... That government had a right to punish. In other words, any crime committed deserves a corresponding punishment. Man, I wish that was true today. I mean, I wish we lived that out today. Okay? This is for government carrying out a punishment, not for personal vengeance. We've been through this. Okay? We're not to take the law in our own hands and do or get, you know, and get retribution ourselves. We turn it over to the government. That's what God says in his word. Now, if like Daniel, we have to disobey the government because we have a higher command, which means the word of God, then we accept the punishment. You know, we're not to buckle under the pressure. We're just to receive the punishment. Like Daniel, like the three Hebrews did in the fire furnace. You know, the guy refused to bake the cake, you know. He's taking a big hit, okay? But anyway, now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 through 16. Okay, and who'd read that for us? Okay. Okay, thank you. Powerful words, folks, you know. But again, it says, if we suffer for the cause of Christ, rejoice. Be happy. Folks, God is watching. He's there to hold us up, to sustain us. And if we suffer, God sees it. And we're going to be rewarded. You know, for that. If we stand up, if we don't buckle, if we stand strong. And folks, I really believe that as Christians, we're gonna have to start standing up and not just rolling over and playing dead when a lot of this bad stuff happens. And there's probably gonna be Jim Gay's opinion, but it looks to me like things continue to get worse. I have a feeling they're gonna get worse. And all of a sudden, the government is just everything is just falling apart over the entire world, not just here. And I just say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I think we're getting close, you know. But I remember back as a kid, they were saying, we're getting close. It's right around the corner, you know. So anyway, we are to stand. Stand true to the Word of God and suffer the consequences, whatever they might be. But honor the Lord through it all. He's watching. Folks, payday is coming. Payday is coming. Okay, back to Romans. Okay, we're ready for verse 3. Any comments before we move on? John?
I see verse 3 is a continuation of verse 1 and 2 because it starts out with 4. 4, rulers are not a terror to good works. Well, some rulers are a terror to good works. So I see God telling us that what 1 and 2 says is specifically for rulers that are not a terror to good works, but to the evil wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. We are living in a time now that many of the people in this country are doing right, but they're not receiving praise from the government.
Yep.
So there's a context here that continues in verse 3 that is not mentioned in verse 2, but it continues on. We had a difference of opinion of whether the American Revolution was right or wrong. And one of the big principles I have been taught about the Bible is going against authority. We had people, I'm not a historian by any means, but I hear people talking about the men that founded this country. And generally, they were Christian, and the ones like Benjamin Franklin that was not a Christian still supported financially and by word, he supported the Christians very directly. And they decided to go to war. And they were Christians that I believe that knew the Bible probably as good as we do. There's no reason for me to think that they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to outguess them and say they were wrong, I would say if I did that, I would be thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. I'd be putting myself above these men that were generally Christian. I would be putting myself above them and saying, well, those Christians were wrong, but I'm not.
Okay.
And that's the way I look at that. And that's the way I look at many things that are done have to do with Christians that I'm not talking about people that just call themselves Christians like we do today. We have the Jehovah's Witnesses call themselves Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about good fundamental Christians. And I have learned in the past to believe those Christians that have a position above me, like pastors. I don't second guess them.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they have the power of God over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I support it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the issue I'm getting to, back to a group of Christians that made a decision way back then. We don't know exactly what happened and how they made the decision, but for me to say, well, they were wrong, that's putting me above them. I would be saying, well, I'm more spiritual than them. They did it wrong. And that would, in my opinion, be making me think I'm higher than I ought to think I am.
Okay.
Why am I higher than them? And that, you know, that goes for Christians in this assembly. Why would I ever think I'm better than another Christian sitting next to me? Now, if the Bible says one thing and they're saying another, yes, I can stand up and say, yes, I believe this instead of what you believe. But it gets pretty dangerous in putting ourselves above another Christian, especially a group of Christians. We have a group of pastors in our fellowship, and are they making wrong decisions? No, I'd never say that. I won't say never, but I'm not saying it yet.
Mm-hmm.
The first fundamental pastor I had said, you don't ever go against your pastor unless you have a direct word from the Bible itself that he's doing wrong. It's dangerous, he said. And he gave the examples in his life, and I knew him for 5 years from the beginning and then years and years after that, and he had a good reputation among other pastors. He told me that that two different times, two ladies stood up in one of his services, two different services at two different times, and put him down publicly. And he said both of them died within a year.
Really?
He said, it's serious to stand up in public against a pastor. You better know what you're doing. And the Bible says you need two or three witnesses. Mm-hmm. And specifically says that in the Old Testament, but it says that about pastors too. You don't do things like that. So I guess my point is we need to be careful to go against other decisions that men have made that are probably as good Christians as we are. Why did they do it? I don't know.
Okay.
I won't say that they're wrong.
Can I add to that?
Sure.
They probably knew their Bible better than we do today, because that's the whole purpose of public education back in the 1600s, was the old Deluder of Satan's Act. Don't ask me what year that happened. It's the whole purpose of public education, so the kids could learn how to, their children could learn how to read and study the Bible. That was the purpose of that. But even if they were wrong, I go back to what Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it happened, maybe it was evil. I don't see the evil in their what they did. But if it was, let's just say it was, God meant it for good, because here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And there they were, there Joseph's brothers were needing food. So God meant that for good, and that preserved the nation of Israel. So.
Okay.
One thing here that for the people, for the Revolutionary War, research, they call themselves a Black Robe Regiment. They're all pastors. They're the ones who fired the first shot. The research, what they call the Black Robe Regiment, and I'll tell you the whole history of why the Revolutionary War began and why they did it. It was the Black Robe pastor that fired the first shot.
Hmm. Okay. Didn't know that. Anybody else?
Interesting discussion. We may never all agree on something. I think we do, though. Fundamentally, we do. But are we getting to answer the question, if the government tells us we can't preach the word and meet in corporate form? Did we? Okay.
Yeah.
I know what my response is.
Like,
we follow God's word, right?
Meshach, Abednego.
Yeah, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
When the government says don't do it, and it's something that God wants you to do,
you do it. Yeah. So we didn't get to that official answer to that.
I think so.
I don't think we know. I don't remember talking about. In other words, okay, I'm assuming you're referring to the COVID thing,
yeah,
when the government told us that we could not meet in church, you know, and we're supposed to not meet. I think that's what you're referring to. And no, I did not talk about that.
There were churches that said, we can't do this anymore. We're violating God's law.
Okay. Yeah, and there's pastors went to jail.
Yeah.
And I think there were fines issued and things like that, and so.
And they suffered the consequences.
Yeah.
Can I just mention one verse of this?
Sure.
Cover the Lord.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, this was Peter and the apostles telling the people. But Peter and the apostles answered and said, "We must obey God first rather than sin." Period.
Mm-hmm.
And who forms the government? Yeah, God does.
Mm-hmm.
But what does he say? You must follow me and my rule. If not, don't do it.
Very good. And I think that statement is going to have to, well, okay, our time is up, but anybody else have something to throw in before we shut her down? Bev.
The government's going to try it again. Just beware. They're going to try to shut us down again. It's coming.
Okay. And I think she's going to be a prophetess here, and I think she's right. Okay. But anyway, no, I really think that there is a movement building and growing that is so anti-God, anti-church, anti-everything. They're coming after us, folks. All this transgender stuff and homosexual stuff, and churches are against it. They're going to start coming through our doors. And I really believe that we just need to be prepared. We just need to get ready to gird up our loins and stand up and take the heat. So, anyway. Anybody, I see a lot of heads doing this, okay? So I think we're headed in the near future. I'm glad that I've got one foot in the grave, you know, because I'm going to get out of here and I'll let the rest, but I really hate to think about what my kids and grandkids are going to face. I really do. I pray for them, and we need to be praying for them. And, well, it's time to close. We need to shut her down. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you've made things very plain, very clear. And Lord, a lot of times we hate to swallow this, but Lord, it's your word. It's what you're saying. And Lord, help us to know the difference. And Lord, to react in a godly manner. If we're told to do things that you're telling us not to do, then Lord, help us to stand up. And Lord, help us to face the pressure. And just help us to bear in mind the verse that we read about, you know, don't be surprised if you fall into various trials and temptations, but God's watching, and he's standing, and just stand up and be firm. And God said he's going to bless us for doing that. And Lord, give us the strength, the want to, and the desire to stand up against wickedness. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with the pastor. If this comes up next. Father, just be we with him. Speak through him to us. Open our hearts to the message he has for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.